I've never spoken on this subject of media before, but it's a very interesting subject that I've been asked to deal with tonight. What is media? What is media? Well, the Oxford English Dictionary says, media is the main means of mass communication regarded collectively. So all the collective means of mass communication, whether that's television, the internet, newspapers, magazines, leaflets through your door, whatever it might be, it can all be considered as part of media. And media is very, very powerful and very, very influential. You just have to talk to a politician to find that out. They employ people called spin doctors who will try and help them get their message out the way that they want to get their message out to the media, so that they can influence you to support them, and so that they can influence you to vote for them when the election comes round. There's a newspaper that you're probably familiar with, although if you're a Christian you should never buy it, called The Sun. And The Sun newspaper is the most popular newspaper in the United Kingdom. It's the newspaper with the most readers. And whichever political party that paper has backed for the last 20 odd years, that party has won the election. And the politicians will do anything to try and get that paper to support them. So the media has an awful lot of influence on society and can influence people's minds, and the media can influence your mind, and the media can influence my mind. And it's because of that. It's because of the fact that the media brings information to us, and it's because of the fact that the media can influence us, that we as Christians should take an interest in the media. And we need to be wary of the media. We need to ask the question, is the information that I'm getting from the media, is it correct information? Is it true information? Is it accurate information? Is it going to influence me in the right way? Now that's looking at the media in a negative way. We can also look at the media positively, because we as Christians, we can employ the media to get out our message. We can employ the media to spread the message of the gospel. So with these questions in the back of our mind about media, let's come and lay some foundations for ourselves in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul here is writing to the Ephesian believers, and he has spent chapter 1 talking about how the Lord has done great things for them in saving them. And then in chapter 2 here, he starts to remind them of what God saved them from and what life was like for them before they became Christians. And he says in verse 1 here of chapter 2, "And you hath he quickened," that is, made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So that's a description of what we were like before we became Christians. And if you're not saved here tonight, that's a description of what you're like now. You're controlled, you're influenced by the devil, and you just go after your own lusts, and you do the things that you want to do, whether God likes them or not. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And with God's word open before us, let's just ask for his help and let's ask for his blessing as we can come to consider this subject this evening. Our Father, we do bow in thy most holy presence once again, and we thank thee, Lord, for thy mercy and thy goodness to us. We thank thee even for these scriptures that we have been reading together this evening, which remind us of thy so great salvation, of how thou took us, Lord, from death and from sin, and set us gloriously free, and saved us by thy grace, not through anything that we ever did, but all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. And Lord, as we come now to consider thy word and to consider this subject of the media, we pray for thy blessing, we pray for thy help, and we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would illuminate our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we ask all of these things. Amen. I want to focus your attention for a moment on verse 2 of chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Paul here says that there was a time in our lives when we walked according to what he describes as the course of this world. Now, what does he mean when he says here, the course of this world? The Greek word that's translated world here is the Greek word cosmos. And as we read the Bible, this word cosmos is used in different ways. Sometimes it's used to describe the actual physical world that we live on, this earth that we live on. In Romans 1:20 it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." So that's speaking of the ball that we live on, the earth. Sometimes this word speaks of the world of mankind, the world of humanity. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." God loved the world. It doesn't mean that God loved the earth, the round ball that we're living on. He loved the world of man. He loves you and he loves me. And that's why he sent his only begotten son to die on a cross, that we might be saved. But there's another way in which the word world is used in the scriptures, and it's very helpful for our study tonight. Sometimes when we read this word world in the Bible, it's speaking of a system. A system that is out there around us. A world system. And this system is anti-God. It is anti-Christ. It is anti-Christian. It is anti-Bible. The whole ungodly multitude, the mass of men alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. And that world system is out there. And it's all around about us. And the Bible refers to it constantly. John 16:33, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, this world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He is saying, Christian, you're going to have trouble in this world because this world hates you. This world is against you. The Apostle Paul in the first epistle to the Corinthians chapter 2 says these words, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." So there's two spirits that are in this world. There's the spirit of God, which influences us for good. But there's another spirit out there. There's a spirit that is against God. Paul again speaking to the Colossian believers said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy." Sorry, through philosophy and vain deceit. "After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." The Apostle James in his little epistle says this. He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So this world system that's all about us is the enemy of God. And as Christians, we should not be friendly to it, because it hates our God and it hates our Saviour. The Apostle John in his first epistle says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the Bible lays before us here in clear and unambiguous language that there's a world out there, there's a system out there, and it's very, very real. Very real. And it's against God's people. It's against us. Now there's something else I want you to see in this second verse of Ephesians. There's something else that I want you to see about this world system, because it says, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Get that in your mind. The prince of the power of the air. The spirit. Because this prince of the power of the air, he's a spirit. And he is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He works in the hearts and he works in the minds of the unsaved people. The ungodly, unregenerate people who don't love God. He works in their hearts and he works in their minds and he influences them against God and against his people. This world system about us is controlled by this prince of the power of the air. And of course, this person is none other than Satan. This person is the devil. And he hates us. He hates God's people. And he wants to destroy us. And he wants to destroy our testimony. John 12:31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Because you see, the devil is the prince of this world. Do you remember in the temptations? Do you remember how the devil took the Lord Jesus aside? And he said to him, look at all the kingdoms of this world. I'll give them to you if you'll just fall down and worship me. Now we didn't read that the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the devil and said, what are you talking about? How can you give those things to me? They're not yours to give. No, no. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't say that. Because they are his to give. They are his to give. He has dominion in this world. And God has permitted that. God in his sovereignty and in his will has permitted that Satan is the prince of this world. In fact, he's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 reads, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he's referred to as the god of this world. He's referred to as the prince of this world. And in this verse that we've looked at here in Ephesians, he's described as the prince of the power of the air. Now this is a very interesting phrase, and I want to break it down for you. There's three Greek words used here. The first one is archon, which means prince. It literally is a prince. It's a ruler. And the devil is a ruler. He is a prince. And of course, all princes have a kingdom. Queen Elizabeth II, she is the queen of the United Kingdom. She's not the queen of France. She's not the queen of Angola. She's not the queen of Russia. She's the queen of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And that's as far as her influence goes. That's as far as her authority goes. That's as far as her power goes. And the devil, he has a kingdom. The devil, he has a domain. And it's this world. Power. This word that's translated power in this verse is the Greek word exousia. And it literally means authority. Sometimes in the New Testament it's translated power. Sometimes the same word is translated authority. Do you know when we talk about politicians running for election, we talk about them seeking power. They want power. They want to get their hands on the levers of control. They want to run the country. They want power. They want authority. And this is what this prince here has. He is the prince of the power. He is a prince and he has authority. He's not a token prince. He's not a prince in name only. This prince has authority. And what does he have authority over? Well, he's described here as the prince of the power of the air. What does that mean? The prince of the power of the air. What does this word air mean? Well, this word air, it's really a transliteration from the Greek, because the Greek word is very similar. It's the Greek word air. And it's really speaking of the atmosphere that's all around this world. The air, the atmosphere. So we learn here from this verse that Satan has a kingdom. He has authority. And this kingdom is the atmosphere that's all around about us. Now, isn't it interesting tonight to think that all of the analog and digital television signals, where do they pass through? They go through the air. They go through the atmosphere. Most modern communications is done through satellites. You make a phone call on your mobile phone, it all goes up through a satellite and comes down and hits some station somewhere, and I don't know how it all works, but it's all going through the air. It's all going through the atmosphere. It's all going through Satan's domain. So when it comes to media, when it comes to broadcast media, when it comes to the internet and email and computers and everything like that, all of those messages that are coming to and from your laptop and from your desktop and to your iPhone or whatever it might be, all of those signals, they're passing through the devil's domain. They're passing through the devil's territory, and he has tremendous influence. And what he's trying to do through the media, and what he's trying to do through all of this influence that he has, he's trying to mold you. He's trying to mold you. He's trying to squeeze you into this world's mold. That's what he wants to do to you. What does God say to us in counteraction to that? He says in Romans 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't let the world, don't let the devil squeeze you into its mold, because that's what he wants to do with you. Child of God tonight, he wants to destroy your testimony. That's what he wants to do with you. He wants to make you ineffective as a Christian. He wants you arriving at the Bema judgment seat of Christ, saved so as by fire, living a life of uselessness for God, living a life of ineffectiveness for God. That's what the devil wants to do to you. And if you're unsaved in this meeting tonight, I'll tell you what the devil wants to do with you. He wants to take you to hell and he wants to damn your soul. And he will use the influence of the media to corrupt your mind and to influence you in a certain way and to squeeze you into his mold and eventually to squeeze you in to a Christless hell. And how does he do it? What are the devil's tactics? Well, I want to explore three tactics with you tonight that the devil uses through the media. Through the media. I want to think about his lying. I want to think about his lulling. And I want to think about his leading. First of all, his lying. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to those old religious hypocrites of his day, he said this to them. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is the father of lies. Every lie that has ever been uttered, every lie that has ever been told, Satan is the father of it. It all comes from him. It all emanates from him. Cast your mind back to Genesis chapter 3, to the Garden of Eden. When the first lie was ever told, Satan came along to Eve in the garden and he said, "Yea, hath God said." Eve was standing looking at that tree, that forbidden tree that she knew that she was not to eat of. And old Satan slipped up in the form of a serpent and said, "Yea, hath God said that you shouldn't eat of that tree." And Eve says, well, God said that if we eat this tree, we'll die. And in fact, Eve got a bit confused and added a little bit to God's word and said, "We're not even allowed to touch it, Satan. We're not even allowed to go near it." And Satan comes in verse 4 of chapter 3 of Genesis and he tells an outright lie to Eve. "And the serpent saith unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." He lied to her. And he convinced her that she was wrong, that Adam was wrong, that God was wrong, and that he was right. And what did Eve do? She listened to the devil. She listened to his lies. She listened to his propaganda. She took the forbidden fruit. She sinned. She gave to her husband. He ate it. He sinned. And the whole world fell into sin. All because of his lies. And you know something? He's lying still. He's lying still, and he is using the media to lie every day. Here's some examples of how he does it. Creation. The Bible says that God made the world in 6 days. You can read it in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 2. But what do we hear on the television? What do we hear every day? Billions of years. Every natural history program that you watch with David Attenborough or any of these people, and they're wonderful to watch, and they're wonderful to see the wonder of God's creation and the majesty of an eagle soaring in the sky or a lion chasing its prey. It's wonderful to watch. But they cannot help themselves but dish out propaganda about evolution. Every time you turn on the television, every time there's an article in the news about they found a new star in the solar system, or they found a new solar system, or they think they found a planet that might be able to sustain life. And every time they find these things in space and they bring it onto the news, what do they talk about? They talk about when the Big Bang happened. Millions of years ago, billions of years ago, and we are being fed a diet of evolutionary propaganda day and night through the media. You see it in papers as well. In fact, it's in our education system. And the devil is lying to you through the media. And then they lie about the Lord Jesus Christ through the media. You know, we're coming up to Christmas time. And usually at Christmas time, the BBC will make some documentaries or programs about the Lord Jesus Christ. They do it to be inclusive. They do it to do something for the Christians. But they don't do very much for the Christians, really. Because most of these programs that they make, they call into question the virgin birth of Christ. They call into question the fact that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was a sinless life. They blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get some old liberal minister who doesn't even believe the Bible to come and rationalize away and use relativism arguments to say that the Bible isn't even true. And they may as well not have put the program on, for it's done nothing for the cause of Christ, and it's done no good for Christianity. And you'll see programs like that coming up now to Christmas on television. Oh, they're tucked away somewhere on BBC Four, but they make them and they put them on. And then, of course, at Easter time, you have the same thing. And they call into question the resurrection. And these things are on. And then there's the call-in chat shows on the radio. Did the resurrection really happen? And they've all people ringing in, giving their views and giving their opinions. And then they bring on some old liberal minister that discredits the name of Christ, discredits the resurrection. And it's all been pumped through the airwaves, on the media, into the hearts and minds of people just like you. And then there's another lie that the devil has been telling on the television. And he tells this one through the soap operas. And this one really annoys me. He says that sodomy's okay. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to be homosexual. And what the devil's doing through soap operas, every soap opera that you can think of, every one of them has a token homosexual or two on it. Every one of them. And what it's really trying to do is it's trying to show you that they're just normal people like you and me. And there's nothing wrong with them, really. Give those poor sodomites a break. Don't be giving them a hard time. And they're filling our minds with propaganda. And they're very clever in how they do it, because they make these characters out to be real nice people. Real fun people. Real likeable people. And you actually find yourself warming to the character. And it's just part of the media trying to manipulate our minds to make us think that it's normal. And it's not normal. It's an abomination to God. And yet, we're having this diet pushed in upon us all the time. All of the soap operas, you name any one of them you can think of, and they all do it. In fact, most people in the United Kingdom don't get their morality from the Bible. Most people in the United Kingdom get their morality from soap operas. How sad a state of affairs our nation has come to. But not only do we see in the Bible that the devil is lying, and in the media he's lying, but I want you to think about this. I want you to think about his lulling. His lulling. Because the devil wants to lull you to sleep. He wants to lull you to sleep spiritually. The Bible is a book that calls on men and women to think. The Bible wants you to think. The Bible wants me to think. God wants us to use that bit of grey matter that's between our ears and think about things. Think about things that are important. Think about life. Think about eternity. God wants us to think about these things. Listen to these scriptures. Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Have you thought about your latter end? Have you thought about where you're going to spend eternity? Psalm 50:22 says, now consider this. Think about this. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Proverbs 6:6, the wisest man apart from the Lord Jesus Christ who ever lived said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, thou lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise. Bible's always asking us to think. Haggai 1:5 says, now therefore thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Think about your ways. Think about the way you're living your life. Think about the way you're going. Anybody that's out there worrying tonight, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. God wants us to think. He wants us to think. You know, there's an old word. We don't use it much in these days, but Shakespeare would have used it. It's the word muse. Are you familiar with the word muse? To have a muse, to have I think. That's what muse means. Muse means to think. Well, the devil, he doesn't want you to think. So what does he do? He amuses you. He amuses you. The word muse, the English word muse, really comes from the Greek language originally. And in the Greek language, when an A is put in front of a word, it turns the meaning of the word round. It makes it negative. So if muse means to think, amuse means not to think. In the Bible, we read of people called Gnostics. These Gnostics were people who knew everything. They thought they had it all figured out. They knew everything. And they called themselves the Gnostics. And we have people in the world today who call themselves agnostics. And they're the people who say, well, we don't know if there's a God out there or not. We're not sure. So we don't really know. So we call ourselves agnostic. And that's putting an A in front of the word Gnostic. And instead of saying we know, they're saying we don't know. We don't know. Incidentally, the Latin for agnostic is ignoramus. But we don't hear them calling themselves that. But the devil wants to amuse you. He wants to amuse you. You see, when you're being amused, you're not thinking. You're just sort of going with the flow and you're enjoying yourself and you're not thinking. And that's what the devil wants to do. And that's what he does to us through the media. And we really need to discipline ourselves about this, young people. Because, you see, the television, there's just so many channels, isn't there? And like 20 years ago when I was young, you know, there was BBC One, BBC Two, Channel Four, ITV, and if you lived near the border, you could get RTE, and that was it. That was all there was. And there was nights you would turn on the TV and there was just nothing on. There was nothing on, so you switched it off and you went and found something better to do. But see now, with digital television, there's ITV One, ITV Two, ITV Three, BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three. There's Quest, there's Channel Five, there's Five, and there's Five US. You'll always find something to watch. Or maybe you've got Sky and all those different channels and the Discovery Channel and Sky Sports Extra and all these different things. There's just so much choice and you're going to find something to watch. And you can just sit there and you can flick through them all with a remote. And you could spend hours and hours. You could waste an entire evening just vegging out in front of the TV, couldn't you? We've all done it. We're all guilty. And when we're doing that, we're not thinking. We're not thinking. Do you know, there's some people, and the first thing they do when they go into the house, see, she said it for me. They turn the TV on. Turn the TV on. And what's the last thing they do before they go to bed? They turn it off. It just consumes your life. And it just steals your time. Time when you maybe should be thinking, considering about the things that God wants you to think about. The important things. Because let's face it, the stuff on TV is not important, is it? It's just there for entertainment. It's not even real, most of it. It's just there to amuse us. And then there's the internet. Oh, boys, you could surf the net all night, couldn't you? And you click on this and, ooh, what's that in your way? And you don't even know how you got to the places that you went to. Flicking through it and going mad. And then there's Facebook and MSM and all these things. People, I know people, and they live on Facebook. They come home in the evening and they turn on the TV. And then they turn on the laptop. And they sit on the sofa with a laptop on their knee and the TV there and Facebook on their laptop. And they have a running commentary of what's going on in the lives of all the people that they know. Oh, so-and-so's in Belfast tonight. Oh, so-and-so's just put on a picture of the wedding. Come here, do you see this? And that's all you hear of all night. And it's all night, every night. Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. And it just steals their time. And there's nothing wrong with Facebook. And I'm going to say a few things later on about the positive side of media. I'm not saying don't go on Facebook. And I'm not saying don't watch television. I'm just saying discipline yourself. Discipline yourself. Don't spend hours and hours and waste your life doing this stuff. There's better things to do. There's more important things to do. Read God's Word. Read God's Word. It'll do you more good than watching Facebook or television all night. And you know, even when we're in the car, we don't get time to think too, because the radio's on in the car or we're playing a CD or something. And you go into the shops and the music's bouncing at you in the shops. Everywhere you go. Media, 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 media. It's hard to get away from it. And it's influencing you. And the devil's trying to lull you to sleep spiritually. He doesn't want you to think about spiritual things. So he will lull you through amusement. Not only do we see his lying and his lulling, but then we see his leading. Because Satan wants to lead you astray. He does. He wants to corrupt your mind. And I said this a moment ago, if you're unsaved, he wants to take you to hell, wants to destroy your life, and he wants to take you to hell. And if you are saved, he wants to destroy your testimony. And one of Satan's greatest tactics, and this is an area that I feel very strongly about and very passionately about, but one of Satan's greatest tactics for leading people astray, especially young people, is through music. It's through music. Now there's something that we need to understand when we think about music. I want you to actually turn with me to the book of Ezekiel for a moment till we read some verses here. Because we read something here about Satan that you need to know. Maybe you already know this, but maybe you don't. But there's something that you need to know about Satan, and we read about it in Ezekiel chapter 28. And this is God speaking here. And he's talking about Satan. And in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13, God says these words. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And he's talking about the devil. He's describing the devil here. He says, every precious stone was thy covering. You know, the devil was an amazing creature when God made him, a beautiful creature. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Now listen to this next phrase. Listen to this phrase that God says about the devil. The workmanship of thy tabrets, that's a musical instrument, and thy pipes, that's another musical instrument, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. God made this creature called Satan, the devil, and he made him perfect. And he made him one of his cherubims in heaven. That is a highly exalted, important angelic job that Satan had. Bible scholars reckon that there was three cherubims and the devil was one of them. He was one of the top three angels in heaven. And it would seem from what we can glean from the scriptures and from this description of his musical personality that he has within him, that he was the one who was in charge of leading the worship in heaven. He was the song leader. He was the one who led the singing. He was the one who arranged the singing. And he was made to do this job. So the devil knows a thing or two about music. It's in his very makeup. We could say that he's a musical genius. So when it comes to the world of music, well, once again, we're in the devil's territory here. We're in the devil's territory. Now, I like music. I love music. And there's nothing wrong with music. And we were singing here tonight. And it's good to use music to worship God and to praise his name. But remember this. The first mention of music in the Bible, back in Genesis, was in the godless line of Cain. The first time music's ever mentioned in the Bible was in the godless line of Cain. Now, there's a great deal of mentions, especially in the book of Psalms, about music being employed to worship God. And there's nothing wrong with using music. And there's nothing wrong with using musical instruments. But understand this. The devil's been in the music business for a long time. A long time. And he is using music to influence your mind. He doesn't want you to think about the Bible. But he's going to tell you what he wants you to think about. And he's preaching a message through music. Does anybody know what is currently number one in the UK charts? I'm glad you don't know. It's Rihanna. Yeah, you had a fair idea, didn't you? Rihanna has a song. This song has been pumped out. Every time you go into the shopping centre, you hear this song. And every time you turn the TV on, you hear this song. I pass youngsters in the street with their mobile phones going with this song playing. It seemed that everywhere I went this past few weeks, I've heard this song going round and round in my head. And it's a real catchy tune. And it's been number one for 3 weeks in the UK charts. And it's called Only Girl in the World. And it's pure filth. It's pure filth. The lyrics are all about sex. I want you to love me like I'm hot keeping, what? Like I'm a hot pie. Keep thinking of doing what you like. So boy, forget about the world, because I'm going to be with you tonight. I want to make a bed for you. Then I'm going to make you swallow your pride. Verse 2. Want you to take me like a thief in the night. Hold me like a pillow. Make me feel right, baby. I'll tell you all my secrets that I'm keeping. You can come inside, and when you enter, you ain't leaving. Be my prisoner for the night. It's all about sex. It's not funny. It really isn't. It's not funny. It's pure filth. And there's wee girls of 7 and 8 walking up the street with their mobile phone singing along. And they don't even know what they're singing about. But it's gone in there. It's gone in there. And it's corrupting their minds. Rihanna again had a song a couple of years ago. And the message of this song is about materialism. And we live in a society that is blighted by materialism. The desire to have things. The desire to want things. The desire to just grab and get whatever you want. And she had a song. And it says in that song, shopaholic is what they call them. My addiction, my prescription. Give me shoes, give me bags. How much you want, I need them bad. Now that's just pumping out a message of materialism. And there's wee girls running around singing that. And then they go and ask their mark and they have a new £100 pair of shoes. Lady Gaga. You all know her, don't you? She has a song here all about just getting stoned out of her head in a nightclub as if this is great fun. She says, I've had a little bit too much, All the people start to rush, How does he twist the dance? Can't find a drink. Oh man, where are my keys? I lost my phone. What's going on the floor? I love this record, baby, but I can't see straight anymore. Keep it cool. What's the name of this club? I can't remember, but it's all right. So basically she has a song saying, it's all right to go to a club, get stoned on drugs and drink to the point that you don't know where your keys are. You don't even know where you are. Which is all right. It's all part of having a good time. And this is the message that's being pumped into young people's minds who listen to this garbage. And I know Christians who listen to this sort of stuff. I know Christians who have been to Rihanna concerts. And I can't believe that they would even want to go. But they go and they enjoy it. Listening to this garbage. Girls allowed, you're not allowed to say anything about Cheryl Cole, are you? She's the nation's sweetheart. They have a song. Your eyes tell me how you want me. I can feel it in your heartbeat. I know you like what you see. Hold me. I'll give you all you need. Wrap your love around me. You're so excited. I can feel you getting hotter. Oh, baby. Once again, another song all about sex. And young people, young teenagers, even younger, are listening to this stuff. You've got to have real discernment about what you listen to. You have got to have real discernment about the music that you listen to. Because the devil wants to corrupt your mind. He wants to pollute your mind. So are we to avoid media? Do we not watch it? Do we not use it? Well, it's very difficult to avoid media. It's all around us. We live in a world that is dominated by it. And there's many things in the media that are harmless. Shaun the Sheep. Peppa Pig. You know, they'll not do you any harm. There's many things, but, you know, there's lots of programs that are watchable on TV. But there's lots that we shouldn't be watching. And we have to learn how to discern them. Now here's a helpful question. Here's a helpful question. When you sit down to watch a program and you're trying to figure out, should I watch this program or should I not? Ask yourself this question. If the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting on the sofa beside me, would I watch it? If the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting on the sofa beside me, would he enjoy watching this with me? That's the question. That's the question, child of God. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." What are you feeding on? What sort of a diet are you taking in through the media? Are you feeding on foolishness? Are you? Can we use the media? As Christians, can we use the media? Well, of course we can. There are some very, very good Christian broadcasts on television. There are Christian channels. Now, a lot of the Christian channels have a lot of nonsense on them. They have a lot of garbage on them. They have health, wealth, prosperity, gospel people on them who should be avoided like the plague. But there are good men, good Bible teachers, who broadcast on television and are worth watching and are worth tuning into. There's good Christian radio stations, once again, that are worth listening to, useful and helpful. Of course, there's Christian magazines and Christian newspapers which are informative and helpful. So Christians can use media. We can. And then, of course, the internet has been a tremendous resource for Christians. Now, the internet goes from one extreme to the other. We can gamble on the internet. People look at pornography on the internet. There's all sorts of rubbish and garbage at one extreme. But at the other side of it, there are good websites. Lestudor Hall, you have a website. You announced it tonight. Our church has a website. Many churches have websites. And they're brilliant. Very useful. Things like Facebook. We have a youth rally in our church and we have a Facebook page for the youth rally. And we use it to keep people informed of what's happening in the meetings. You can send a message to the group. Let people know if there's any changes to the plans or any changes to dates or meetings. Tremendous facility that we can use on the internet as God's people. But we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful when we use these things. We need to have discernment when we use these things. In a moment, I'm going to come down and I'm going to present to you one internet ministry that I'm involved with called EternityWord.com. But before I do that, just to conclude this message, can I remind you of a little chorus that you probably sang in Sunday school or in Good News Club when you were a child? And I think this chorus sums up what we should be thinking when we come to the media. Whatever media it might be, whether it's broadcast media or magazines or internet. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above and he's looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. EternityWord.com. Where will you spend eternity, or where will you be in eternity? That is the question that we want people to think about. We're talking tonight about how God wants us to think. God wants people to think. And there used to be many road signs years ago in this country on trees or boards up on trees with this very question: where will you spend eternity? And we thought that we would take that question and take that principle And not only have it on a tree, but have it on the internet. Can I have the next one there, Johnny, please? The internet was invented and developed in the second half of the last century. And, you know, in terms of impact, it's the biggest thing since the invention of the printing press. For just getting information out there. For years, books had to be handwritten. And the Bible even was copied on manuscripts by hand. And when the Bible was first translated into English, for example, about 400 years ago, next year actually, the King James Version is celebrating its 400th anniversary. That was brought together by bringing together all these handwritten manuscripts and agreeing what the text was. Scholars got together and looked at all these manuscripts and agreed what the text was and then translated it into English. And then the printing press was invented and the Bible just went across the world. And something went hand in hand with the invention of the printing press. It was a thing called the Reformation. And the Church of Rome had hidden God's word from the people for centuries, but with the invention of the printing press, they couldn't hide it any longer because people were publishing and printing the Bible and getting it out there and getting it into the hands of the people. And God's word says, the entrance of my word gives light. So light was being put out into the world by the use of the printing press. And now, in our day and in our generation, the internet has had a similar impact. And people are able to access information that they never dreamed of. And we even use words like Googling it. If you want to find out about something, you just say, Google it. And it's just so much in our culture now, so much in our psyche. Next one. That's a graph that shows internet growth in this past 10 years. It's just shot away up. And even in the developing world now, with the likes of these iPhones and stuff, people who don't even have computers in their houses can't afford them, but they can afford a phone. And even these people are now able to access the internet who couldn't before. Next one. The purpose of EternityWord.com. We've two purposes. To reach the lost. To reach the unsaved. For the night cometh when no man can work. The Lord's coming back soon and we don't have long to get the gospel message out to people. So that's our main and our primary focus. But we also want to encourage Christians to evangelize. To reach the lost. To go into the world and to preach the gospel. And we've designed our site in such a way that you can become part of it and you can help it. And I'll explain a little bit more of that as we go. Next one, please. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the website is designed as an evangelical website. It's not a website necessarily for Christians to read, to get information. There's no Bible studies on it or anything out there. All of the content of the website is purely evangelistic. Next one. That's the home page of the site. We have always a verse comes up each day. It will change. We have a little scrolling banner here that goes with, are you too good? Are you too bad? Are you too young? Are you too old? And then the final one is, you're too late. And we have down the side here, we have some tracts that people can read. And then we have a featured sermon, which is an audio sermon. There's an audio symbol there. So you can actually listen to sermons. There's maybe 20 or 30 sermons on the site. And once again, they're all gospel sermons, Sunday night type evangelistic sermons. Next one for me there, please. I've more or less said that already, except that the bottom bit there, that's an example of some of the people we have on it. Dennis Lyle, who's my own pastor. David Leggy and Wilson, maybe you know him over in Saintfield. Thomas Martin, John Morrow, Ian Paisley, Bob Jones over in America, keep the Americans happy. We've all sorts of people on the site. That's just a few. Next one. There's a statistic for you, which might blow your mind. 67,000 people visited the site in a month. This is just a site run by three guys from Northern Ireland. When was the last time you had 67,000 people at your gospel meeting on a Sunday night? Doesn't happen. But 67,000 people visited the site. And that's all around the world. Last year, 2009, there was 750,000 visits to the site. That's mind-blowing to me. Three wee guys from Northern Ireland set up a site and that many people have been impacted by it. Who knows? Eternity will only tell us what impact it's had. Next one. There's an example of some of the countries that we've reached. Argentina, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Germany. As you look down the list there, can I tell you, we have foreign language sermons on the site now. We've some Spanish, we have Portuguese, we have Romanian, we've something in Arabic, I think. We're trying to build on that all the time to try and get more and more foreign language stuff on the site, because we want to be relevant not only in the English-speaking world. Next one. There's just a couple of examples of feedback that we've got on the site. Some guy said, your website is extremely motivational. I love the verse for today. And then some girl called Kim says, I just listened to 60 Minutes Ago by Ian Paisley. Please pray for my grandmother, Hilda's salvation. I'm going to sit her down in front of the computer and get her to listen to it. So isn't that wonderful? Somebody has seen something on the site and think, you know, I'm going to get my granny to listen to this. It's amazing. But God can take these things and use them. He can use the media. God can use the media. God can take the devil's toys off him, and he can use them for his glory. Then our other purpose is to encourage Christians to evangelize. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he's done for you. He's done so much for you. Surely you want to give something back to him. Next one, Johnny, for me, please. Here's some of the things that you can do. You can do these things. You can put a sign up on a tree. You can get a piece of wood out. You can paint it white. You can paint a gospel text on it. King James Only, please. And eternitywhere.com on the bottom. This is a picture in a field near Kesh in County Fermanagh. A guy, a farmer down there, approached one of our guys. He lives in Omagh. And he says, I want to put up an Eternity Where sign in my field. I live beside a main road. So we bought the sign and he erected it in his field. Maybe you have a field. Maybe you live near a main road and you'd like to do something like that. Well, talk to us. We'll be very glad to buy you a sign. Next one. There's a guy has a van. It's his work van, and he has put eternitywhere.com on his van. And he got that idea from the car sticker. Now, I have car stickers with me tonight. Eternitywhere.com car stickers. They're down on the back table. If you have a car, or if you have two cars, take one or two. Use them. Maybe you think somebody in your family would like one. Take one for them as well. It just asks that question, eternity where. And I see these all the time. I'm always looking out for them, obviously, because we give them out. But I see them all the time when I'm going to work. And I always look to see, do I know who it is? I don't know why. I just assume because it's an eternity where sticker, I must know them. But I don't know who they are, these people. I don't know them. I've never met them before. And it's just great to know that they're helping us do something for the Lord. They're helping to advertise the site. So take a card. Thank you. Next one. How can you help? Well, there's lots of things you can do. You can use the eternitywhere.com calling cards. It's just like a little business card. And once again, there's some of these down the back. Take some if you think you can use them. If you're going to take them and put them in a drawer, don't take them. But if you're going to use them, take them. It asks the question, where will you be in eternity? And then on the back is the Romans Road, 5 texts out of the book of Romans, which will show someone how they can become a Christian. So take those and use them. We have umbrellas with eternitywhere.com on them. Brilliant for funerals. You can include eternitywhere.com in your email signature. You like that one? You can sign off your email with your name, and then under it you can write, where will you spend eternity? And then create a link for eternitywhere.com by just putting in the website address. If you're a regular person who gives out tracts and there's no real contact on the back of the tract that they have, why not put eternitywhere.com on the tract? And then people can be directed to the site where they can hear sermons and other things. Pop a calling card into an envelope. Do you ever get puked at home with credit card companies asking you to join up and have a credit card? And every time you open the envelope up, there's always a free post envelope inside. Well, what I do is I post one of these back every time. Next one there for me, please, Johnny. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. You know, there's a couple of RV things down there as well. There's a TMAT, eternitywhere.com TMAT. Maybe you work in an office. That would just be a wee testimony on your desk of the office, just sitting there, eternitywhere.com. You don't have to say anything. It's just sitting there. It's a wee silent witness. There is a little prayer card as well. It lists on the back some of those ideas for how you can promote eternitywhere.com. But take one, stick it in your Bible, use it as a reminder to pray for the work, because we need your prayers. We need you to pray that God will bring people to the site. we need you to pray that when they get there, that God's Spirit will convict them and convert them.